had our solicitor, our program solicitor, review this agreement, and there were no recommended changes. So basically, the agreement is the same as last year with a 3% increase. We would not be able to operate our program without these dollars. They're very much needed to offset our ongoing administrative costs. And it's been great that we've been able to have some increases, because obviously on the base side, we have not received any increases in a number of years to help fund our administrative expenses. So I'm asking your approval of the agreement. Are there any questions?
No, I don't think so. Thank you, Tammy.
You're welcome. Thank
you. Any comments, concerns?
I do have a quick question. Tammy, can you tell me the last time there was an increase to the base unit funding? And I assume that would have been from the state?
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that this morning. I know in 2012, the 2012-13 fiscal year, we had a 10% cut.
Yes.
And it was probably like a number of years before that even. So, I mean, it's been well over 15, maybe 20 years. I mean, seriously, it's been that long since we've had any true base, like COLA general increase in our base dollars. Any increases we've had, it's because we've initiated like a new CHIPS program or got some new money for a new project, as opposed to just the general pay increase or just a general increase in funding. So it's been a really, really long time.
Understand. That was my point, was that as a result, the county now has to shoulder the local tax burden, falls to the county as when it once was to the state. So that answers my question. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and if I can just make a comment, Tammy, it's not a question, but being involved with this group over the past year in a very intimate way, and, you know, we talk in terms of behavioral health, but they handle all of what I would refer to as the mental health in our counties. Your leadership and your entire group, it's not just Indiana County, but that entire group, in the work that you do, it's amazing. And again, to try and do it through COVID, and it's already a confusing topic. A lot of people don't understand what does mental health mean when you're using it. So, you know, between the different providers, between the different healthcare workers, these people are amazing in what the care they take with the people. So thank you so much for everything.
Thank you for the comments. Yeah, we have an amazing group of the direct care service providers that's been working with our individuals in our intellectual disabilities home, as well as our mental health residential homes. A number of our providers have continued to do face-to-face services with individuals throughout COVID. And so they're the ones that need to be really, you know, commended for their great work and the care that they give to so many of our individuals in both counties. So thank you for mentioning that.
Okay, thank you. So do I have a motion to approve this agreement?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, Tammy.
Thank you.
Okay, next we'll have a District Justice Office, 350 North 4th Street, change order. Mike Yannity, would you like to present? Mike, you might have to come up here.
Give me this microphone. I have three change orders total for the project. First one is change order number 8 from Fred L. Burns Incorporated. It's for $465. Extension of masonry wall between the administrative office and the waiting room. It's part of the ballistics wall that was missed on the prints.
Okay.
We had to extend.
You have to do one at a time.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, that's good.
Okay.
Be direct.
So, change order on the extension of the masonry wall, the ballistic wall. Any comments or questions? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Moving on to change order number 9.
Change order number 9 is with Fred L. Burns also. It's for $1,674.91. There was two interior doors when they started hanging them that we were going to reuse in the existing building that were damaged. They couldn't be reused. So they had to order two for that.
Okay, any questions or comments on the existing doors being replaced? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Moving on to the next change order with Henkel.
Yes, this is change order 1 for Henkel Plumbing and Heating. It's $2,900. It's for two replacements of water closets in the employee restroom and two water fountains for the waiting area that needed to be replaced. We planned on reusing, but when they went to install them, they weren't usable.
Okay. Any questions or comments on the replacing of the water closets? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. The total of all three change orders comes to a total of $5,039.91. Okay, thank you, Mike. Okay. Next, it's the District Attorney's Office. Morning, Linda.
Morning.
Would you like to present?
Yes. We're asking the commissioners to sign. It's a Pennsylvania sound maintenance contract. It runs from January 1st through December 31st of 2021. It's free to Indiana County. It's paid for by the Pennsylvania District Attorney's Institute. It stands for Pennsylvania Statewide Automated Victim Information and Notification. This free service is for victims and the public, and it provides around-the-clock access to the custody status of offenders in our county jails and in state prisons. It's an automated telephone, email, or text messaging notification to anyone that registers, like any one of us can register to find out where someone is. So it provides a 24/7 and it also is free to everyone. It will notify them of any change. So if a person was transported, say from our jail to the courthouse for a hearing, it would say they're out for this hearing, and then when they return, they returned. If they were also eligible to be released, it would put it out there. So it would notify you how you want to be notified of their release so that you're not in Giant Eagle and there's your offender. You know, you would know ahead of time. Our Indiana County Jail is committed to implement this system, and so they're responsible for all the information that goes in. And so, like I said, if it was a domestic situation or something, it's peace of mind to that person that someone's not going to be there. You know, they know where they're at all times.
Okay. Any questions or comments?
I have two questions, and I'm sorry to put you on the spot.
No,
how does one know how to sign on to this? And is it like an electronic? An app, for example, on a phone?
Well, you could do it on the phone, but you could go in the email and you sign up for it. So you would go in there and you would put your offender, the person that you wanted to know. So you put them in there, and then there's a just a click on if you want to be notified. And then it'll ask you how you want to be notified. So you would put in there your email address, your cell phone, your home phone, and then it'll ask you for a PIN number. The most important thing is to remember that PIN number, because they're not going to shut off. It will run forever to notify you until you put that PIN number in. And the reason for it is, what if your offender was in your home at the time they returned, so that they don't shut it off and you don't know,
right?
Or from some other, you know, that they would get in and do that. So you would have to have your own, you know, your personal PIN number. You'd know, you put it in, and you know, it would stop the system.
Okay, great. So, thank you. That I asked both of mine in one, but thank you. You answered both.
Okay.
Any other questions or comments?
This is like an amazing tool.
Sounds like it, yes.
It is.
Okay, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, children and youth. Terrence, are you on?
Yes, I am. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Great. Indiana County Children and Youth Services has two service agreements that they're asking the Indiana County Commissioners to enter into contracts with. The first one is Alan Fychuk. He's an Esquire for fiscal year 2021. Attorney Fychuk will be assigned as legal counsel to parents for dependency matters at a sum of $55 per hour, not to exceed $1,750 per month. And this cost will come from our general fund.
Okay, is there any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Moving on to placement listing.
Yes, we have Lifespan Family Services of Pennsylvania. It's a renewal for fiscal year 2021. This provider provides traditional, kinship, behavioral challenged, medically needy, respite, dependent with child, and emergency foster care services to children ages birth to 21 years of age. There's a rate increase by approximately 1.5%. These areas that designated the significant increase of 1.5 were employee benefits, facility upkeep, foster parent training, payroll, and employee training and employee travel. These costs will come from our general fund, and it's utilized on an as-needed basis.
Any questions or comments from the board? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Terrence.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on to Human Services. Lisa, are you on?
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Good morning. Yes, we can.
Okay, great. My first item here today is to renew the contract for the Veteran Outreach Program consultant, Diane Overman. It is from January 1st to December 31st, 2021. This provides $20 an hour up to 960 hours a year for a total of $19,200 for her wages. And she is the backbone of our veteran providers group that is extremely active. So it's been a really, really nice program to have over here through Human Services. And she does not receive any benefits since she's part-time, but we do pay her travel because the veteran, different things that she has to go to for events can be quite far sometimes. So we do pay her a little bit of travel. So I'm just asking for a signature on that contract to start.
Any questions or comments? The only comment I like to make is I just like to actually acknowledge Diane for her good work she does for our veterans in the county. And I mean, through the emails that I received and copied on, this is one department that is very busy. So just if you would extend our thank you to her.
Absolutely. And I think what's really fascinating, if you're on those email chains, it is quite amazing to see how quickly people respond and solve problems. It's a very good thing to be part of.
Most certainly.
It is, and always with such an uplifting, positive attitude, which is no surprise, Lisa, that she works very closely with you.
Thank you.
It really matters. It makes a difference.
It does. Yeah, we have a great group over here.
Okay, can I have a motion to approve this contract?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Moving on to the next.
Okay, so the second one is for Kathy Abby Baker. She's the Health and Human Services Subcommittee consultant. So this subcommittee actually supports the larger County's Emergency Planning Committee. And this is the $5,500 in my budget for $15 an hour, so approximately 367 hours a year for Kathy to kind of facilitate our meetings and keep us all on task for the Health and Human Services Subcommittee. This contract also runs from January 1st to December 31st, 2021. Anything above $5,500, Health and Human Services Subcommittee will be responsible for, but Kathy's been exceptional in working under that amount for us. So we're just asking for a signature on her contract as well.
Questions or comments?
Mr. Chairman, I would just say ditto to your previous comments on Diane Overman's work with the veterans, and I would just ditto that for Kathy Abby Baker, both in this regard and also her engagement throughout other things in the county, but most comes to mind is the Children's Advisory Committee as well.
Yes. Yes, very, very expansive.
Okay, do I have a motion to approve the next agreement?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. And we'll move on to number 12, the cooperation agreement.
Okay, this is my trifecta here today. So this is very interesting. So the United States Department of Treasury has released, they're going to be releasing $25 billion across the nation for rental assistance. They call it rent and utility assistance. Pennsylvania is to receive $852,182,000 of that for rental assistance. And so the email that we were rushing on Friday to get, since we had received that email for the application, after we had all of that completed by Tuesday, yesterday, we were informed that only 18 counties are going to be eligible for the initial part of that because they have over 200,000 residents. But the reason we're still going to send this through the commissioner meeting today is because this appoints ICAP, specifically Michelle Fott, executive director of ICAP, as the county's authority to representative. So she can act on behalf of receiving the money, and her staff, her fiscal staff, Brandy Fleming, will be responsible for administering the money, because eventually the money is going to have to go through, after the 18 counties get their money, the rest of the money is going to have to come down through the legislature, and they're going to basically do what they did before, if you can remember, with the CARES Act that came down through PHFA. So I don't think it's going to go through PHFA again, but they'll pick another entity, and I think it'll stay either DHS or DCED, and it'll come down through those waves channels. And so we might be able to get some of that money. So I definitely want to send this through. So at least we already have ICAP appointed, and Michelle is very interested in renewing this again. I just wanted to give you a heads up on the CARES Act Runner Relief Program that actually had gone through PHFA. ICAP was able to help with $121,698 in rental assistance from that CARES Act money that had come through for the residents of Indiana County. On the HAP supplemental funds, we were only able to use $10,000, a little over $10,000, I think $10,206 or something like that. It was a little bit smaller, but the requirements were so much more stringent. So I am pleased to report that, you know, over $131,000, almost $132,000 were used for rental assistance funding for the residents of Indiana County to try to help out, this particularly with the COVID issues. So that's what we're going to send through today, just to have ICAP already being appointed the representative for the county to move forward with rental assistance should we receive more money in the future.
Okay, Lisa, I just want to thank you and Michelle and whoever else Friday was trying to jump through hoops to make this happen. Truly appreciated. But
yeah, that was, they do not give you a lot of time. The turnaround's about two days, I think 2 to 3 days. And it's a lot of stuff to pull together very quickly and rewrite a lot of the cooperation agreements. So I appreciate Matt for looking over all of those contracts for us as well and agreements.
And Lisa, I hate to put you on the spot, but do you know if this program is any less what I would call cumbersome in essence to try and get the money into the people's hands who desperately need it?
Well, I think it's going to have the same kind of restrictions. I do think there are going to be some guidelines being that it's federal money. But it is not, from what I understand, it is not supposed to go down through PHFA. So I think that will help a bunch. I think there was a lot of confusion surrounding the rental assistance that had come down through PHFA, because I don't think they were equipped to deal with that much funding and that much money. So I think if they keep it with DHS or DCED, I think they're so used to running money and they're so used to handling funding from the federal government, I think it will just be a lot cleaner. But the restrictions on the money are still going to be the same. From what we understood already, you're only going to be allowed to use one federal funding source at a time. And so that makes it a little trickier to make sure you keep all the money straight for fiscal responsibility. Yeah.
Any other questions or comments?
Yeah, comment. Thank you, Lisa. I know that these new things come at you really quickly, and appreciate you being prepared and helping us to be prepared, because this is going to be very important. Even though I think there's still a moratorium on them. Rent and mortgage, that people still will need to pay these funds in some way to their landlords or their banks. So this is really important money. And our great partner, ICAP, Community Action Program, we have just full faith in that they will deliver the maximum amount possible. And so we're very grateful for all the work of ICAP too. So just to say thank you to your staff and yourself and ICAP for all the good work.
Thank you so much. And I will second that. Michelle is incredible to work with. Mm-hmm. So we work really closely together on many different things. And she truly is in it for the right reasons. And she's very passionate about their work. So I'll second that.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. I will make a motion that we accept this agreement. Is there a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Thank you, Lisa.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day.
Okay, we're going to move on to the planning. Angela, are you on?
Yes, I am. Good morning, commissioners.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So the Office of Planning and Development requests that the Board of Commissioners approve a $50,000 term loan from the Indiana County CARES Act Revolving Loan Fund to SDC 2014 LLC. SDC 2014 LLC otherwise operates El Tesoro Mexican Bar and Grill and is a family-operated restaurant and bar owned by Shane Kaler and located in downtown Indiana. All of the proceeds of this loan will solely be used as working capital to pay for critical operating expenses such as payroll, utilities, and inventory to alleviate economic injury caused by the COVID-19 pandemic disaster. The interest rate is 0% fixed for the term of the loan. There is no payment for the first 12 months and 36 months of principal. The borrower will retain 7 full-time equivalent employees as a result of these funds. The application was reviewed and approved by the RLF Loan Review Committee.
Okay, you've heard the fund agreement. Is there any comments or questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Moving on to the next.
Thank you. The Office of Planning and Development requests that the Board of Commissioners approve an addendum to the existing Economic Development Administration, or EDA's, Revolving Loan Fund Administrative Plan. The addendum specifically targets businesses who demonstrate they have been impacted by COVID-19 and is required by EDA. The addendum will be in effect during the disbursement phase of the $1.23 million Supplemental Financial Assistance Award, which is the first 24 months or until the funds have been fully disbursed. The addendum makes changes to areas of the existing plan, such as eligible businesses, interest rate, and collateral requirements.
Is there any questions or comments to the addendum? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I will second. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carried. Angela, thank you for your assisting and supporting these businesses with these funds. Truly appreciated from yourself and the planning office in doing this.
Yes, thank you, Commissioner. Anybody interested in the program can contact our office. So again, please, if you need help, please give us a call. We'll do the best we can.
We will. Thank you.
Thank you, Angela.
Thank you.
Lou Ann, are you on?
Good morning. Yes, I am. Hello.
Good morning.
It's all right.
That was me. User error. Yes, my first item is for a three-year project activity completion extension request. Our office and Indiana Borough are requesting that the Board of Commissioners approve a three-year project activity completion extension for the 2016 CDBG contract activity on behalf of Indiana Borough. The current contract specifies that the contract activities were to be completed by June 7th of 2020. The extension is necessary due to a recently approved contract modification that eliminated the Water Street retention pond activity and added the South 15th Street storm sewer project. The additional time is required to complete the final design, permitting, and construction activity due to the change. The request is to extend the activity completion date to April 30th, 2022. And upon approval of this request by the board, we would submit this for final approval to the Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development.
Okay, hearing the details of the extension, is there any comments, questions? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Motion carried. Moving on to the budget revision.
Yes, our office is requesting that the Board of Commissioners approve a budget revision on the county's 2016 home contract for the Housing Accessibility and Modification Program. The request is to reduce the project delivery budget line by $7,500. This change will revise the original contract project delivery budget line from $17,500 to $10,000. The $7,500 will be added to the development cost rehabilitation budget line, adjusting the contract from $264,500 to $272,000. The revision is needed to reflect actual program costs as we're getting to the end of our contract. And upon approval by the commissioners, we will submit this to DCED for final approval.
Okay, any questions or comment on the revision? Hearing none, I'll make a motion. We accept. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Luann.
Thank you.
Okay, Director Stauffer, are you on?
Yes, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning. Hello, commissioners and everyone on the call.
Yes.
For your consideration this morning, I have a contract change order for the Indiana County Education and Technology Center building project. The Office of Planning and Development requests that the Board of Commissioners authorizes entering into change order number 2 regarding the contract agreement with Westcon Inc., DBA Cavcon Construction Company of Greensburg, PA, who's serving as the construction manager as constructor for the professional services related to the construction of the aforementioned Indiana County Education and Technology Center building project. The project is a collaboration with Westmoreland County Community College, the proposed Challenger Learning Center of Indiana, Pennsylvania, and consists of an approximately 26,402 square foot education and training facility on the campus of the Indiana County Technology Center located in Moy Township. The purpose of the project is to provide regional learning facility for local area students, as well as adult learners. That includes the community college, the technology center, the proposed Challenger Learning Center, as well as IUP in terms of partnership opportunities that strengthen knowledge in the science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, the STEM, to inspire students to pursue careers in these fields, all intended to provide students entering the workforce the necessary skill sets to pursue successful careers in high demand occupations. As a result of this project, I just want to mention that WCCC has made offerings to local school districts in terms of in-county tuition rates, as well as a recently announced additional partnership with IUP. So we're already seeing benefits from these entities partnering in anticipation of this new facility. The specific action related to this contract change order this morning is as follows. Change order number 2, and if I could just mention that this project is being set up in phases. So these are all anticipated administrative actions, not necessarily change orders in the sense of a change order, but just how we're adding them to the contract. But this change order requests adding the remaining phase 2 building to the scope of work, including the labor component for the erection services for the pre-engineered building and the metal wall panels that were previously approved, along with all other interior and exterior facets of the project. The change order amount is for $5,091,796. The new guaranteed maximum price, which means that this is the most the project will cost and likely will be less, is $6,816,752.19, which includes the original phase 1, and the we also ordered the building last fall, so it would arrive in March. So the building was previously ordered, so the materials only, and that was an amount of $1,724,956.19. And all of this includes a 6% contingency and the contractor's fee of 7.5%. It is noted that any savings, so if the prices come in below the GMP, that the savings would be split 60% to the county and 40% to Westcon. Want to note that funding for the project is coming from a $4.115 million Redevelopment Assistance Capital Program grant, a federal grant from the Appalachian Regional Commission in an amount of $350,000, and $3 million in local loans between First Commonwealth Bank and S&T Bank. The request action also requests authorization for Commissioner Keith to be granted authorization to execute the change order documents as needed for change order number 2.
Any questions or comments on the change order? Hearing none, I'll make a motion that we approve. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Director.
Thank you. Sorry, it's a complicated project, so I just want to put forth as much information as possible. So sorry for the long agenda item.
No, that's very helpful. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to an agreement with the Unemployment Compensation Program. Robin Maria, would you like to present?
Yes, thank you. The County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania has established an unemployment compensation program known as the County Commissioners Association of Pennsylvania Unemployment Compensation Trust to provide unemployment compensation coverage for all CCAP members and county-related entities desiring to participate in the program. Indiana County has been a member of this program for many years. CCAP and UC Trust, via an agreement and declaration of trust dated June 30th, 2020, amended the agreement and declaration of the trust dated August 3rd, 2014. So I'm asking the board to sign the amended agreement to affirm and continue our participation in the UC Trust.
Any questions or comments on the agreement? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second? I'll second it.
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Robin. Okay, next part of the business is we have a grant agreement for GEMS program. Robin, would you like to present this also?
Yes, in July of 2020, the county applied for a second county grant agreement for the GEMS program funds. GEMS is grants for election modernization and security program. The funds are to be used to reimburse or fund the counties for additional expenses regarding the lease of purchase of Department of State certified voting systems. The county purchased a central count voting machine that was used to count absentee and mail-in ballots in the amount of $53,975. Under the agreement, the county will get reimbursed 60% of the total cost of the machine. I'm asking the board to accept the funds as authorized by the Department of State in the amount of $32,385, which is 60% of the original cost of the machine.
Any questions or comments on the grant agreement? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Okay, we're moving on to either reappointing or newly appointments to boards and authorities throughout Indiana County. I will name each authority or board, the names and whether they'll be reappointed or newly appointed. And we will proceed with each one individually. I will ask for a motion and a second for approval. So the first is the Airport Authority. We have James Slazarensis, excuse me if I mispronounced that, and he is for reappointment, and James Duncan for reappointment. Both terms expire 2026. Questions or comments? Hearing none, I will make a motion that we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. High Ridge Water Authority, we have Larry Deal as a reappointment and John Stump as a reappointment. Both terms are to expire January of 2026. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Hospital Authority, we have Commissioner Gorman as a newly appointment. It would be through January of 2024. And Fred Kinter, reappointment until January of 2026. Any questions or comments?
That was Frank Kinter.
Frank Kinner, excuse me. Hearing none, motion to approve.
So moved.
I'll second. All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. The Housing Authority, we have Jeffrey Bowden. He's a reappointment, January of 2026. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll make a motion we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Industrial Development Authority, we have Joseph Kinter. He's a reappointment through January of 2026. Questions or comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Indiana County Municipal Services Authority, we have Frank Haluta as a reappointment through January of 2027. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll make a motion we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Planning Commission, we have Joseph Tremarkey as a reappointment and Ross Bricklemeyer as a reappointment, both through January 2026. Questions or comments? Hearing none, a motion to approve.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye. Aye.
Motion carried. Redevelopment Authority, we have Carolyn Princes, a new appointment through January of 2023, and Thomas Falcone, a reappointment through January of 2026. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I will second. All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Solid Waste Authority, Michael Foote, a reappointment, and Kenneth Brown, a reappointment, both through January of 2026. Questions or comments? Hearing none, motion to approve.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Transportation Authority, we have John Hardesty. A new appointment will be through January of 2023, and Daniel Berkey, a reappointment through January of 2026. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll make a motion we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Motion carried. Uniform Construction Code Board of Appeals, we have Greg Batchaw, a reappointment through January of 2026. Questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Zoning Hearing Board, we have Beth Marshall as a reappointment, January of 2024. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Motion carried. Armstrong Indiana Behavioral and Development Health Program, David Flowers, a reappointment to December 31st of 2023. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, I'll make a motion we approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Motion carried. Children's Advisory Commission. We have Brittany Allison, a new appointment. Patricia Brzezanski, a new appointment. Haley Crownover, a new appointment. Michelle Jordan, a new appointment. Jill Northey, a new appointment. Carolyn Princess, a new appointment. Todd Fulton, a new appointment. All of those will serve through December 31st of 2023. Any questions or comments? Do I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
I will second. All in favor? Aye.
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 Motion carried. Friends of the Conservation Board, District Board, we have Commissioner Hess. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
I will second. All in favor? Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. We also, so those are all the appointments, reappointments, new appointments. We will go through to our next meeting in January, and we have some other appointments that need to be made, and those final appointments will be made at that meeting. So that will close the boards and authorities for now. So we have a board vacancy. Robin Marriott, would you like to present, please?
Yes, we have a vacancy opening on the Planning Commission. Vera Bonnet, who has served for a few years, elected not to be reappointed, so the board may want to make comment on that. But anybody interested in being on the Planning Commission can send letters of interest to the Commissioner's office in care of my attention. And our address is 825 Philadelphia Street in Indiana.
Okay. Next, we're going to move on to a resolution concerning the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. Okay. So the resolution states as follows. Whereas affordable, reliable, and resilient sources of electric power generated in Pennsylvania are vital to the health, safety, and welfare of the residents of Indiana County and to the prosperity of its economy. Whereas Pennsylvania's coal-fired electric generating units are a major economical, employment, and tax revenue generator for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, counties, and other municipalities in which they are located. And whereas on October 3rd, 2019, Governor Wolf directed the Department of Environmental Protection by Executive Order 2019-17 to develop regulations that would facilitate Pennsylvania's entry into the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. And whereas on September 15th, 2020, DEP submitted and received approval from the Environmental Quality Board of a proposed carbon dioxide trading program regulation that would join Pennsylvania to the REGI that is now subject to public comment and review by the Independent Regulatory Review Commission. And whereas the REGI is a cap and trade program targeting electric generating units by imposing a tax on the coal and natural gas-fired electric generating units in our Commonwealth. And whereas Indiana County has an immediate and significant interest in this proposed regulations as a host county to impact coal-fired generation units. And whereas carbon dioxide emissions from Pennsylvania's fossil fuel-fired electric generating units were 33.2% below 2005 emissions level, which is well in advance of Governor Wolf's stated 2025 goal of 26% below 2005 levels. And whereas these reductions have been accomplished while Pennsylvania has maintained a stable, reliable supply of electricity at competitive price rates, significantly below those of REGI states, which can be attributed to the fact that over 95% of Pennsylvania's energy generation comes from in-state low-cost sources, including coal, natural gas, and nuclear. And whereas the $2.4 billion REGI tax will be imposed on all coal and natural gas-fired electric generating units in Pennsylvania, and according to DEP's modeling will eliminate over 87% of existing Pennsylvania coal generation by 2022 and impair the future of competitiveness of all natural gas generation. And whereas the REGI tax will prematurely force the premature retirement of over 8,200 megawatts of coal-fired electric generation in Pennsylvania, displacing this electric generation to other states that do not impose REGI tax. Whereas the RGGI tax represents the single most significant energy generation restructuring in the history of Pennsylvania, and forced premature retirement of coal and natural gas plants will lead to loss of thousands of direct and indirect jobs supporting the electric generation industry. And whereas within Indiana County, coal-fired electric generating unit operations produced $837 million in total economic impact, supporting 1,490 direct and indirect jobs. And whereas within Armstrong County, coal-fired electric generating unit operations produced $544 million in total economic impact, supporting 1,100 direct and indirect jobs. And whereas in total, coal-fired electric generating unit operating in Pennsylvania produced $2.87 billion in total economic impact within Pennsylvania and support over 8,000 jobs with $539 million in employee compensation. And whereas coal-fired electric generating units serves as the economic cornerstone and encompass a significant portion of the tax base for many communities, and their forced closures by RGGI will have severe and long-lasting consequences on host school districts and municipalities. And whereas these negative economic consequences and shortfalls of the proposed regulation were considered and discussed by the Air Quality Technical Advisory Committee, the Citizens Advisory Council, and the Small Business Compliance Advisory Committee, each of which rejected recommending the rule to the EQB. And whereas under the Act of January 8, 1959, known as the Pennsylvania Air Pollution Control Act, the EQB is statutorily required to host regional in-person public hearings where it becomes necessary to adopt rules and regulations for the control, abatement, prevention, or reduction of air pollution for any area of the Commonwealth, which encompasses more than one region or parts of more than one region. Public hearings shall be held in the area concerned. And whereas the EQB and DEP neither advise in a regional of the Commonwealth affected by regulation, nor held any public hearings in the areas concerned, and instead convened 5-day-long virtual hearings in mid-December that required an internet-based registration process, which discriminated against the disenfranchised thousands of potential commenters who lack adequate broadband access. And whereas, in addition to the impact on coal-fired electric generating facilities and host communities, Pennsylvania joining the RGGI will have a significant negative economic impact on the Commonwealth's industrial, manufacturing, and transportation sectors. And whereas, if all coal-fired electric generating units within Pennsylvania are forced to close because of RGGI tax, Indiana County electric customers will be at risk for significant price spikes and potentially rolling brownouts, as have occurred in other states that have moved away from fossil fuel. And therefore, be it resolved that the Indiana County Commission, that the County Commissioners of Indiana County urge Pennsylvania's IRRC to reject the proposed carbon tax budget trading program regulation as contrary to the state statute and the Constitution of Pennsylvania. And be it further resolved that the County Commissioners of Indiana County deem this resolution to serve as an official public comment for the proposed carbon dioxide budget trading program regulation. And be it further resolved that the County Commissioners of Indiana County have and will continue to support energy policies that make sense for our workers, consumers, and employers. And be it further resolved that a copy of this resolution be transmitted to the governor the Department of Environmental Protection, the IRRC, and the EQB, dated this 13th day of January, 2021. Hearing the resolution that I had just read, I am going to make a motion that we approve the resolution. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, aye.
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 Motion carried unanimously of this board.
I would like to make some comments, if I may.
Sure, Commissioner Hess, you may go ahead.
This is a really tough issue for our area. And I have worked very, very closely with Climate Change Solutions for Pennsylvania, for our nation, for our state. And I believe that there are solutions out there, but this is a blanket policy. We need to invest in solutions that work for our entire state. And this is very problematic for Western PA in terms of our economic livelihoods that are here. And what I need and want to hear from the governor is how these policies will make Western Pennsylvania whole again, because this represents an enormous loss of jobs and livelihoods. And while we are going to go into the future of renewable energies and other means of energy production, we need to understand how that works for our people. I was elected to represent the people of Indiana County, and that is who I'm talking for right now. I am a strong believer in solutions for the climate change that is here and is affecting us, but we need to do it in ways that are fair and equitable to all parts of our state. So I just wanted to make those comments.
Commissioner Gorman? Mr. Chairman, no, and I would like to echo Commissioner Hess's comments with regard to, I think, not just the Indiana County Commissioners, but everyone involved in the groups in particular that rejected the proposals put forth by the governor and his team, DEP, et cetera, in this issue. That has been the point is, this is going to have substantial, very immediate impacts, and they are actually already occurring because of the uncertainty. But the point is the time frame. No one disagrees with we need to move in this direction. No one disagrees, including all of the workers, the unions, everyone that has spoken on this issue. It is the time frame of which they are escalating for this to happen that's going to have the immediate impacts. So I agree with Commissioner Hess, and again, many things that you read and put forth in the resolution, Commissioner Keith, have not been fair and taken place. They have not come out here in person, talked to our citizens with the elected officials, provided a plan as to how they're going to help us get in front of such an issue that would be substantial loss in jobs, and need I say, at a time and unprecedented in our history. And I believe that those steps in good faith should have been and need to still be taken. So those are my comments. Thank you.
Yes, and if I may, one more thing. I do want to get it into the record that we need the governor and his team to come and talk to us about the impact that this is going to make to our communities, you know, and to the very hardworking people here that have really literally built this country in Western Pennsylvania through really hardworking union-led labor. We need to have some discussions. Thank you.
And agreeing with the comments that both commissioners have stated, my comments are to, first of all, the hardworking people of Indiana County and all those other counties that provide this kind of service through these electric generating facilities. We stand behind you. I stand behind you. With not having any kind of plan as far as what are we going to do with the people that will be losing their jobs going forward, I think this is totally wrong on behalf of those who are supporting this with the governor. I don't believe moving forward without having a plan is right, and especially right to those people who get up every day and go to their jobs to actually perform a service to those companies and to support families. And in the meantime, we turn around and saying, in a phrase of supporting the Commonwealth and its operation. You know, that is whether it's local or county or state. These people go out to make a living, every day, good living, trying to just, you know, keep livelihoods continuing. So I strongly, additionally, urge Governor Wolf, would you please come to Indiana County, sit down across the table with us, and please have a discussion on this subject going forward. At least give us that consideration and the consideration of those people of our county and all those counties across the Commonwealth. I truly urge you, and I actually invite you to do that. So with no more further comment on the resolution from other commissioners, I thank you for listening in and taking our comments. Okay, next part of business, just to make mention that the courthouse will be closed on Monday, January 18th, in observance of Dr. Martin Luther King Day holiday. Is there any other business at this time to be brought before the board? Okay, hearing none, I have a statement that I would actually like to present at this time as final. So, I am one of three commissioners with equal authority and responsibility for the county's budget. In response to the December 17th Indiana Gazette interview that Commissioner Hess was provided, that Commissioner Gorman and I were not, nor ever told that it happened, and thus we were both blindsided when we read it. The article said that even though the budget was passed unanimously, Commissioner Hess protested it. I emphasize here that she not only voted for it, she seconded the motion not once, but twice when it was repeated. Then she gives an interview after the fact of protesting her own vote. The preliminary budget was presented for public review at our November 18th meeting. The Indiana Gazette article that followed the next day was titled, First Tax Hike Likely Since 2013. How come we did not hear of any protest then? I emphasize, it was the same budget we approved during the December meeting. Furthermore, the day before the final budget was passed, the commissioners came together to discuss it. None of us wanted to do it. Does anyone think that even us want to increase taxes ever? Commissioner Gorman and I have continuously said we cannot and will not tax our way out of county issues that were decades of decisions put us right where we are. This goes against everything we stand for. We were all devastated after all the work we had done to make an unprecedented 40% cut in the county's budget. I started working this process right after the get-go in January to begin a formal budget process. This also accomplished our goal coming into office, meeting individually and collectively with our directors and fellow elected officials to get to know them, their staff, and how they run their departments. Commissioner Gorman and I walked into a $6 million deficit. Do you hear me? We were handed a welcome to be a commissioner. You need to dig yourself out of a $6 million deficit. Thank God we started early so that we were able to make up for another $6 million lost revenue because of COVID. This was while we were cutting department costs with our directors and other elected officials. We refinanced the county's debt and renegotiated as many contracts as possible in our first year to find $18 million of savings cuts out of a $45 million budget.
Mr. Chairman, I also wish to make comment with regard to the same subject. It brings me no pleasure to use my time or energy in this way, but Commissioner Hess's comments inferred that she had little or nothing to do with the 2021 budget. This inference is absolutely false. She was often missing from the courthouse through much of 2020 while Commissioner Keith and myself forged ahead with tough decision-making that needed to be done. Yes, you might say, well, of course she was. She was doing her job by staying away because of COVID. Please, we offered every kind of other teletechnology for her contributions to be made. And while she now says that in 2021, she will review every unbudgeted expense, where has she been? Since the day we walked in the door, all three commissioners are given the monthly expenses and asked to sign off on them, acknowledging that we reviewed them. She's had that opportunity to do that since becoming a commissioner several years ago. Commissioner Hess was kept fully aware throughout this entire process as an equal partner and team member having equal authority and responsibility for the budget. She was always given the opportunity to attend all budget discussions and could have voiced any objections, protest, or solutions, but she was often not there. In fact, at one point during the budget process, we asked Commissioner Hess what her thoughts were on how we were approaching it. Her direct words were, "You are doing this the right way. I didn't have the opportunity to do this when I entered office, and this has been very helpful to me." Also in the interview, Commissioner Hess stated she was unclear about what she just did. Really? She also said she had trouble hearing because she decided to Zoom into the meeting. The county's IT department records every meeting in its entirety. Commissioner Hess did not express concerns that she was having trouble hearing during the meeting. Go listen for yourself. The audio recording of every meeting is posted to the county's website just as it occurred. Commissioner Hess knew exactly what she was voting on, not only months before, but because before every meeting, the commissioners are provided a comprehensive agenda just prior to the meeting that we walk through every item to be certain that we have been fully informed to know what we are voting on. All I can say is I was blindsided, as was Commissioner Keith, by reading Commissioner Hess's comments in the newspaper the day after the budget was passed and hearing about meeting dynamics. Lastly, Commissioner Hess said she went along with the vote for the sake of moving forward together, but then said a tax increase this year is wrong and that any unplanned expense in 2021 would meet her objection. Well, I didn't run for office, quote, to just get along with my colleagues. Our differences is our strength that we bring to the table when we have to make difficult decisions in the best interests of all citizens of Indiana County. All Commissioner Keith and I have asked for from coming together as a team, as equal partners, is honesty and transparency. This was neither. Commissioner Keith and I take responsibility for this exceedingly difficult but necessary decision, while it seems Commissioner Hess is running from it. I think that this is what is most disappointing of all. This was an insult to all of the elected officials, the directors, and our entire staff who walked through this process alongside of us for the first time working so hard to make difficult cuts in what became an unprecedented and the worst time in our history to have to do so. Mr. Chairman, regretfully, I make these comments and that concludes my remarks.
Our next regular meeting will be January 27th, 2021.
Motion. I would like to respond.
You may do so.
Well, thank you. Well, I I'm very surprised by these comments, and I'm disappointed that you felt like you had to make them in a public meeting. I stand by.
As we, when we read your public remarks after the fact, of which we were not given the ability to discuss beforehand.
I understand. I stand by what I stated in the newspaper, and I won't get into all the times that I felt like I was left out of conversations and so on, but I stand by what I said in the newspaper. And I think that it's very unfortunate that you needed to bring these comments into a public meeting. I was very serious when I said I wanted to support it for the sake of moving forward, because we do have a lot of work to do in Indiana County. Our economic situation is dire. Our pandemic situation is dire. As I've said many times, there are many voices that are not being heard at this county government level. And that is what I am bringing to this table. But there's been many times that I've been thwarted in those efforts. And the budget was one of those. So I would encourage us to do better.
That is simply not true, Commissioner Hess. And again, we were all the same. None of us really wanted to do what we had to do. We all agreed with you. But to not be part of being able to make comments as a collective team on the issue, and then to, in essence, make inferences that you weren't part of it, I'm sorry, it's just unprofessional and irresponsible. And I take affront to that.
We are members of an equal members of a deliberative body, and we all have opportunities to make statements as we see fit.
And with all the work that our elected officials, along with our department heads and our staff, had read the same thing in that article that was stated in the Gazette, we're deeply disappointed, and I will stand behind each and every one of the county's directors and employees and elected officials moving forward.
As do I. I've often commended them for their efforts. There's no blame to them for the issues that have occurred. But I do stand by what I say. So that's all the comments I have.
As I stated, our next regular meeting is January 27th, 2021. Motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Seconded. All in favor, aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everybody, and have a great day.